Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way.
Welcome, this is Eric. Not in a
creepy way. It's Drew.
And tonight,
beep.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Drew.
And tonight, we're going to talk about Deja Vu, 2006, directed by Tony Scott.
Yeah, Tony Scott, man.
So, Tony Scott and Val Kilmer had shirts made for the crew. Did you hear about this?
No.
The t-shirt said, Malcolm X, Jesus Christ, and Jim Morrison. Deja Vu, how can we fail?
Wow, that's amazing.
That's very bold.
Mm-hmm. I forgot Val Kilmer had worked with Tony Scott before.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, to be charitable, this is sort of fat, low-key Val Kilmer.
Yeah, you know what's weird is his face looked really puffy, and he was wearing, like, baggy clothes, but when he was just in a shirt and, like, pants, his body looked almost normal.
Yeah, he looks like a regular guy. I mean, yeah. He's not actually fat, he's just puffy, compared to his, like, Lizard King, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, especially, yeah, his face was super puffy.
Yeah. But not unpleasantly so.
No, it's fine.
So, introduce us. Take us away.
Deja Vu. This is a movie that I really wanted us to do because I was high on Tony Scott and it was available streaming.
And had you seen it before?
Yes, and I remembered almost nothing about it. Which kind of fits.
Watching it this time, did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. I really wanted to enjoy it more. It was fine. Sort of in a damning way. It was fine.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. I thought it was fun. And yeah. It didn't make you think.
It actively discouraged you from thinking.
Exactly, yes. Which is...
If you think about it, there's problems.
Yeah, well, maybe it's close to actual sleight of hand of just move fast, change.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is actually kind of fine. And I think the writers of the original script were kind of pissed that he veered away from the hard science fiction aspect of it. Because he spent no time talking about the science behind this.
This is one of the biggest yada yadas I've ever seen in a movie with time travel. It's worse than Looper.
This doesn't even give you the satisfaction of Looper.
No.
And yet, I didn't mind it. I mean, it makes no sense.
Nope.
But that's okay. And there were some weird choices that were made. And actually, I think the most surprising thing I found out from this movie is, do you know what's in production right now? Maybe even post-production. I'll give you a hint. Jim Caviezel stars in it.
Oh, I really hope it's a sequel to Passion of the Christ.
It is. It's called Passion of the Christ Resurrection.
Yikes.
This time it's personal. No. I know you've talked about it being very powerful.
Yeah, it's well made. I don't ever want to watch it again.
Do you want to watch the sequel?
Nope.
I also don't want to see The Doors 2.
The Doors 2 Resurrection?
Yeah, actually, it would have to be Malcolm X 2 The Resurrection also, as it turns out. all of those movies kind of ended poorly for the
maybe it could be an Avengers style team up.
There you go. Yeah, it's some sort of Infinity Stone. Anyway, shall we just dive in?
I think we should.
Okay. So the movie starts in Algiers, New Orleans. An explosion of a ferry transporting sailors from the USS Nimitz and their families on a Mardi Gras excursion causes 543 casualties. This is, by the way, yada yadaing a big opening scene. A really, really actually powerful, well-done action set piece.
Yes, yeah.
Like, the ferry explosion is actually pretty great. And you get to see it a couple times. And then you get it explained.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like, it really is the big set piece of the movie. And it happens in the first, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah, it happens before you meet the star of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, by the way, ATF agent Doug Carlin, Denzel Washington, who's assigned to investigate the terrorist attack. I've got a question for you.
Is the question, why doesn't he give a shit that his partner has disappeared?
It's that. Although, remember, his apartment, his partner's on vacation, right?
I thought he was just not answering his phone.
Well, there's that, too. But, okay, so here's a question I thought. Does Agent Doug Carlin, does he have kind of a, sort of a Columbo-esque, aw shucks cop personality? Or is he trying to do a New Orleans accent?
I don't know. I don't know what Denzel Washington was doing, but he was doing a thing.
He was doing a thing, and I'm not sure I like that thing.
No. No, I mean, he doesn't need to do a thing. He's Denzel Washington.
Well, exactly, yeah. So, he shows up, and he's informed by Sheriff Reed, John McConnell, about the corpse of a woman, Claire Kuchever, played by Paula Patton, who we know from, well, we will know, from Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. She is washed up on shore, some distance away. Turns out, an hour before the explosion, but burnt by the same explosive. Also, her fingers are cut off.
Yes, yeah. In too clean a manner.
Yes, it's very, very grim.
Mm-hmm.
So, Doug also learns that his partner, Agent Larry Minuti, Matt Craven from Crimson Tide,
and Sharp Objects.
Oh, yeah. Was also killed in the bombing. Yeah, he's like one of the main characters of Sharp Objects, right?
He's the sheriff.
Yeah, okay.
He was great.
Yeah. So anyway, he apparently was killed in the bombing. We find this out actually by a clever cell phone ringing in the body bag, right?
No, we find that out when he notices his car at the headquarters.
That is true. Oh, yeah, and they have to do the death notification.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet FBI Special Agent Prizwara, played by Val Kilmer. And when I read his name in the cast list, I'm like, they never say his name. Why does he have a name with, like, 16 consonants? This was a choice.
That's true.
He is invited to join an experimental surveillance team led by Jack McCready, played by Bruce Greenwood, who we know from iRobot, Batman Gotham by Gaslight, and Capote.
Very nice.
Actually, lots of Batman animation. Bruce Greenwood is Batman. So, we get to see this, the moving images from aboard the ferry in this crazy 360-degree position-shifting video display.
We get to see moving images from 4.5 days ago.
Yeah, 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, and 45 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. And this is the greatest yada yada ever. Because we learn that they're not just looking. They're actually like, well, they're kind of like looking through a wormhole.
Yeah.
And they don't ever explain why it's 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, and 45 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, they created this wormhole accidentally, and it folds space in on itself enough that they can access that amount of time ago, specifically.
And it's got, I mean, they have it nailed. I mean, they have it down. And I guess like if they took the time, which I'm glad they didn't, but I guess if they took the time to explain that they don't know why this works, they just don't want to close it because then they don't know how to reopen it again, and they're just fucking around trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I could buy all of that. Also, yep. Apparently this thing takes a lot of power, like electrical power. Like, they keep crashing the grid, the electrical grid of, like, the Eastern Seaboard.
Yep.
It does not make millions of East Coast citizens very happy.
And they had a new take on the explain it in English trope.
Oh, explain, tell. Oh, yes.
Yeah, instead of saying explain it in English, Denzel says something like, stop talking science. You're like, wow, way to put a huge spin on that one.
Well, by the way, this movie also made me realize how much I like Adam Goldberg, of all people. This is Dr. Denny, who's like the equivalent of the long-haired scientist.
Yeah. He has condescending charisma down to a science.
He does. And I do like the way that all these characters involved in this operation just know it's a losing battle to try to explain anything to Doug. So try to explain as little as possible, but not because they want to keep him in the dark necessarily, just because it takes too much time to explain it. It's going to lead to more questions. Just go with this.
Yeah. And I like the fact that even though, Agent Carlin is doing kind of an aw shucks thing, he is no dummy.
Oh, no.
He's very, very bright.
Yeah. So he realizes that, no, this is not some kind of crazy multi-satellite feed, which is awesome. I love that explanation. Oh, it's from several satellites. No, it's not. It's from several satellites that go inside of buildings and stuff. What the hell?
With audio.
And then they end up... He is brought in because as an ATF bomb specialist, whatever, bomb reconstruction specialist, he can see things in a crime scene that maybe other people can't, and kind of because their time is limited, it keeps moving, even in the past. They need to know where to focus their clinical eye.
Right.
He gets fixated on Claire Kuchever. And it gets creepy real fast.
Yeah. The relationship between Carlin and Claire was one of the things that really did not work for me in this movie.
Yeah, it's very strange. Mm-hmm. Because it becomes clear that he can see her and she knows she's being watched. And later he plays like pet cat toy games with the laser pointer.
Yeah, to prove that it's not just a video feed.
Yeah. Which is sort of crazy. By the way, it takes a leap here pretty soon that I'm going to have you explain, but we're going to go there. So we get to see this whole thing unfold. Somehow she was related to the bombing. They find out pretty quick that it's her car that was used in the bombing. The bomber bought her car from her. It's unclear why she was killed. So... after they have this big confrontation after he does the laser pointer trick, and just the act of laser pointer trick screws up the field and shuts down the grid or whatever, right?
I don't know. Was it the fact that he breached the wormhole with the laser pointer that shut it down, or did they panic when there was a breach and they shut everything down?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that could have been it too.
I think they hit AZ-5.
Oh, what's AZ-5?
Oh. Jason will get that. It's a Chernobyl reference.
Ah, okay. So we get this confrontation where everybody has to spill their guts about what this thing is. They don't really know it. And Doug has an existential question. And that question is she alive or is she dead?
Yeah.
And he's kind of hung up on that question. As mm-hmm. if maybe he had lost someone in the past or something.
Yeah, maybe. When he went to go visit her apartment before he got hooked up with these wormhole weirdos, he saw some funny stuff there.
Like, yes.
Like magnets on her fridge that said, you can save her. There was his own...
Or they say, can you save her?
No, it says you can save her.
I thought he switched it around. Or does he switch it around the other way at the end?
No, he creates that at the end out of just random magnets.
I thought at some point he changed can you save her to you can save her.
That would be more clever than this movie is.
Okay. Somehow I thought that was it. But.
I think you're giving this movie more credit.
So this is the whole is she alive or is she dead thing begins this whole idea of branching theory, whether you can change the past, which evidently has never occurred to them. Like, and they also discuss whether you can push something from the future into the past.
I mean, it has occurred to them theoretically, but they don't think it's possible based on how much energy it would take. And they don't want to do it because they don't know how dangerous it would be to start messing with time.
Yeah. It seems like a reasonable fear.
Yes.
I mean, granted, we have seen more time travel movies than these people have. But we have this whole thing where they discuss whether or not if they change a little thing, the little ripple would actually create any long-term effects, whether changing the time stream is like rerouting a little creek or whether it's just like throwing a rock into the Mississippi.
Yeah, and this crew, I forget if they have an official title, their mandate is way different than what Agent Carlin wants to accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
They want to catch the bad guy, and Agent Carlin is introduced to time travel and starts to consider whether or not they can stop him from doing it in the first place.
Which is not, frankly, even in the budget. So, Agent Carlin decides, or they agree together, to try to pass a message to him, to himself, so that he can intercept the bad guy. Who we have really never met the bad guy yet, right? I mean, we've maybe seen him. Oh, no, actually, no, they don't. I think this is before they even got the still of him.
Yeah, I don't remember. The big car chase is after the note, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the big car chase. So we meet the terrorist, and the terrorist is Jim Caviezel, who we know from Passion of the Christ. Passion of the Christ, Resurrection, and The Rock.
The Rock?
Yeah, he was the voice, or maybe even... Oh, well, maybe he was actually in one of the fighter jets at the end.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, they send this message back, hoping to catch Doug, but instead we catch Larry. Larry, who's innocent in all this, but somehow has died. Well, now Larry has enough tools to go and try to find the bad guy.
Yeah, no one knows why Larry was on the ferry, but they know he died there.
Exactly. And did you think at any point that Larry might be a bad guy?
No. I don't know if I just had a sense or if I had some vague memory, but I was pretty sure Larry was dead.
No, but I mean, in the past, do you think he was part of it?
No.
Like I thought there was a possibility that maybe Larry was in on it. Like, he died in the bombing, but he may have been part of the problem.
Oh, no, I never thought that.
I was fishing for more in this movie, I think.
Yeah, again, you're looking for branches on a tree that doesn't have any.
So I looked at through some lists of websites that did lists of Tony Scott movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they always talk about, well, this one isn't nearly as goofy as this movie, but it's, you know, so it's a little more streamlined. And that's why this movie gets pretty good marks, because it does all the things that you want from a Tony Scott movie, like big action pieces, and not quite the flights of fancy as some things like Domino.
Yeah, it's not as entertaining as Domino. It might be a more cohesive movie somehow, but...
Anyway, so Larry ends up meeting the terrorists, and there's a fight. And then Larry's dragged away into the terrorist vehicle, who he has damaged. They had like a gunfight in the terrorist vehicle. So the terrorists can't use this vehicle anymore to bomb the blah, blah, blah.
It's a pretty one-sided gunfight. Yeah. Caviezel just shot him through the door. Did not kill him, though.
No, no. Turns out bad things happen to Larry.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to find out.
It includes being burned alive and then fed to alligators?
That's right? The question. Was he fed to the alligators or was that just extra?
I think he was fed to the alligators. Yeah. I think his burnt remains were dumped and then eaten by alligators.
That's what I thought too, but I think there was some question about that.
It was almost like a Mel Brooks level fatality.
Well, kind of, yeah. So then we have a car chase that takes place both in the present and in the past, involving a full-size Humvee.
I love this. I love it. It's one of the few things I remembered from the movie. Loved it.
It is so ridiculous.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess like The Rock, for instance, it's just bonkers. It's just bananas.
And for as many time travel movies as I've seen, I've never seen something like this where the main character is interacting with two different timelines simultaneously.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's as silly as this movie is and as this is going to sound meaner than I intend, but as unambitious as this movie is, I thought this part was really creative.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, hey, wouldn't this be fun?
Yeah.
Because he's wearing like a part of a like virtual reality helmet as he's driving a Humvee through crowded New Orleans or Florida traffic.
Yeah, somehow he's supposed to navigate the roadways with like a heads up display over one eye, showing him the same terrain but from 4.5 days ago.
At night, and he's in the daytime in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he manages to cause many thousands of dollars worth of automobile damage, like vehicular damage.
He killed like 4 people.
Probably. At least. And he's a hit and run, like a hit and run homicide suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And the police don't chase him out to the crab shack.
Nope.
The gator shack, I guess. Yeah, he goes to the gator shack unscathed.
Yeah.
And this is where he gets to see the present day Gator Shack and gets to be told what the Gator Shack looked like in the old, like in the 4 days, 6 hours ago by the team through his radio.
Yeah. In present day, it's all blown up. There's an ambulance there.
Yeah. It's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Then they, based on the fact that the computer search finally comes up with a facial recognition match, and the bad guy's name is Carol Oerstadt.
Oh, also in this movie, they use facial recognition software on a messenger bag.
That too, yes.
That doesn't work, right? That cannot be a thing.
I don't think so. Well, that's the thing is like everything was fine. We can. I'm sure you could use facial recognition software on a bag if you happen to have a database of all the bags in town, which they said match this to all the bags you see on the camera. Like what? Like that is crazy, but it advances the plot.
Yeah, very creative.
So they catch the terrorist and they bring him in for questioning.
That's what it is. This movie moved along so quickly because it's the equivalent of like writing a long form journalistic piece without having to go through fact checking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, yeah, all right, that sounds good.
So
moving along.
Yeah, well, they catch the bad guy in real time, in present day, and he and Doug end up having a conversation, you know, as you do, and you find out that the military rejected him twice because he was mentally unstable, and he's a patriot and his destiny and collateral damage, and it's very Oklahoma City. In fact, it's not even kind of Oklahoma City. They mentioned that Doug was involved in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows this type of character before. And also, Caviezel.
Yep.
Says you have no idea like what's coming. Now, right. I thought there was going to be a bigger terrorist attack, but I am forced by the way the movie unfolded to think that maybe he was talking about he was starting a revolution.
No idea. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it sounded good in the moment. But hey, there's no need to fact check it. By the way, what do you think of Caviezel?
He's fine.
I thought he was good.
Yeah.
Like, he must be... I know he was on a TV show for a while, but he must be either a huge asshole or maybe just a flat-out weirdo in real life.
Because he hasn't been given more work?
Yeah, I feel like he should be working more.
Do you think he's like suffering the Jesus slump, though?
Maybe.
Kind of like similar to Henry Cavill had the Superman slump.
Did he have a slump?
Didn't he? Or maybe he just... I don't know. Maybe he just came out of nowhere.
He was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the most underrated movie of the past decade.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, one of the better action movies we have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Just for pure enjoyment, although it's no Tony Scott movie.
Indeed not.
Okay, so Doug is frustrated because they caught the bad guy, and Greenwood is like, hey, let's shut this down. We've done our job. We're good. We're packing up. We're going home. Good work. Give you a challenge coin or whatever, and we'll see you down the road. But Doug is like, no, you got this machine, and I want to save the girl, because I'm Denzel motherfucking Washington.
And he has fallen in love with her.
Yeah, King Kong, I ain't got nothing on him. Yes, and he's fallen in love with a girl.
It's so, very creepy, creepy stalkery way.
Yeah, not to mention that he's probably twice as her age, but that's a whole nother. He's Denzel Washington.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. So they talked about how there. I guess they alluded to the fact that they may have tried to put something living through the wormhole before.
Oh, that's what it was. I thought that they had tried to send his partner back and had gotten him killed.
Ah,
that was what I was assuming happened.
Yeah. But they just kind of allude to the fact that it did not go well, plus it would take too much energy, and everything stops. The electromagnetic pulse of the system. By the way, that's not necessary to explain at all, because they never explain anything else. And plus, when they show you the machine, it's not the big, bold, like 1970s time machine sort of contraption. It's not a gigantic... I think in the first Avengers movie, they're holding the Cube of Destiny or whatever it's called.
What's that thing? Tesseract?
The Tesseract, yeah. It's nothing like a big tube of machinery. As best I can tell, it's a little bit like the device that the eye doctor uses to see which lens is better like this or better like this, and two thick pieces of glass.
Yeah, it was not even as thought out as Dennis Quaid's ship in Inner Space.
Apparently he can leave his underwear on, but can't take his watch or something. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter, right?
Could you be know, worse. Michael Biehn did it naked.
Yeah, well.
Denzel could commit a little bit more.
You think. Well, they probably didn't have the budget for that, though.
True.
I think you're right. I think my plot synopsis does say that he actually spells you can save her, and it was never can you save her. Oh, well. Again, you're right. I am wrong. That's all right. I can deal with it.
It happens.
Yeah. So he ends up time traveling to a hospital, which is very clever, actually. I thought this was actually pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so they shock him back to life because the EMP stopped his heart, blah, blah, blah.
And they wrote a message on his chest. Also not at all creepy.
Yes.
Seems like the first step would be revive him, but the second step would be call the police, because that is some weird shit.
Exactly, yeah. So they shock him back into rhythm, and he escapes from the hospital, evidently unscathed from the entire experience, but oh well, again, he's Denzel Washington.
Makes no sense. Doesn't matter.
But this is where he steals the ambulance and drives to the fish camp or gator camp or whatever it is, where Claire is tied up with a bag over her head.
And about to have her fingers cut off because she scratched Caviezel and had his DNA.
Yes.
For the rest of the movie, did you keep expecting her to lose her fingers?
Well, actually, for the rest of the movie, I was wondering, he pours gasoline all over her. She must be just like off gassing gasoline for a long time.
I think it was diesel.
Okay. Well, still. Wouldn't that be dangerous?
It would be unpleasant, and she would reek.
Yes.
Like, no one seems to notice that she's standing there reeking of diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the cops are just, like, 5 feet away.
Doug takes Claire home to clean up. I thought it was actually, there was a little nice turn where she seems to be very accepting of all this weird stuff and then comes at him with a gun saying, "Who the fuck are you?" Which mm-hmm. I thought was nice. Gives her a little bit of agency, right?
She gets over that real quick.
Well, yeah. So then she calls the ATF to confirm his identity, and that's where we learn that she called. Oh, that was the other part of the trick in the beginning, is that the victim with the no fingers called and left a message on his machine, or called and left a message for him
mm-hmm.
before. Yeah.
Yeah, so the movie spent time explaining, in a movie that doesn't explain anything, it spent time explaining this theory of branching timelines. But then it seemed to indicate that you can't change time, right?
Well, I think that was just back to the whether the branch, it was really a branch or just a ripple.
Yeah.
Because while everything changes, nothing changes overall. Like, you can't stop the inexorable progress of time. Although they don't say it in those eloquent words.
Well, everything that he was causing to happen had already happened.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't.
Yes, until at the very end. And the whole plan was that they were going to watch the bad guy put the bomb on the truck. She was going to call the cops, whatever. He was going to defuse the bomb. He was going to defuse the bomb in a couple of minutes. He was very confident in his ability to defuse a bomb with no tools.
Yeah.
Luckily, he didn't have to do this. And in an ending that I am sure that you saw coming, even the first time, you knew that that truck was going to go into the water.
Yes.
That's how you stop the bomb from blowing up the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So easy enough.
Even at the very end, I thought she was going to lose her fingers in the propeller.
Could have, yes, absolutely. That's true, you're right. But I kind of like the gunfight at the end, where Jim Caviezel just goes, like, full Rambo.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Jim Caviezel in this movie.
Good stuff. So, but past Doug dies in the bombing, right?
No, that's future Doug that dies in the bombing.
Okay, you're right.
Future Doug dies in the past. Sort of the present now.
Yes. Past Doug, who used to be future Doug.
He has not been future Doug yet.
No, and they do not meet each other, which is good.
Yes.
But, again, the movie is ultimately just an action movie. The mm-hmm. tiny, weird love story. So they go off into the sunset together. Not explaining how nothing happens. Like, he avoided that whole thing. I guess it's yeah. branching timelines, we don't care.
Yeah. The Claire-Doug relationship is so weird. It happens so fast on both sides. I mean, at first it's one-sided. He has fallen in love with her and she doesn't know who he is. And then by the end, she has fallen in love with him and he dies. But then she meets past him for her. And now she's in love with him and he has no idea who she is.
Exactly. So she's going to seduce him. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm kind of glad that we didn't subject Jason to this. Because I'm going to throw...
Would have been so mad the whole time.
I'm going to throw out the possibility that Source Code was a better time travel movie. Just for time travel movies.
This movie was such nonsense.
Yes. And yet, it was enjoyable. It was way more enjoyable than Source Code was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with this movie except it is just bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the perfect kind of bonkers you'd want to see. Maybe this is sort of in the same, like, instead of a 2006 movie, maybe this should have been like a 1989 movie or something.
This is what the kids would call a flex for Tony Scott. He's just like, I'm going to make just this garbage plot of a movie, and it's going to be total nonsense, and it's not going to hold up if you think about it, but you're still going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, why did Tony Scott...
It is so stylized. It looks great. It's got star power. I mean, even though Val Kilmer is kind of past his prime, he still has star power.
No, and he's still say what you will about Val Kilmer, he's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
But he can pull this stuff off, and he didn't have a lot of heavy lifting necessarily in this movie, but maybe the fact he was a little understated is a credit to him. Because nothing else in this movie is understated.
He had so many get a load of this guy just looks.
Yes.
He was great.
Yeah. Everybody did a good job. I mean, and back to the point of Tony Scott doing his flex, the writers were pissed because he didn't allow, they probably said to themselves, no, it all made sense in the script we gave, like the script that they bought, this all made sense. And Tony Scott's like, you guys don't understand. That is all wasted. Nobody cares. Have you seen a Fast and Furious movie?
I'm sure this didn't happen, but I really wish, it is my desire, that the writers had like an intervention with him and he just looked at him and said, it doesn't matter. I'm motherfucking Tony Scott.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. These are conversations you have with Brother Ripley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I've never heard an interview with Tony Scott. I don't know what he would sound like. I mean, in my head, he's kind of a crazy person.
It's just like some sort of Australian savant when it comes to filmmaking.
Not a crazy person like Klaus Kinski or something, but like a crazy person like Don Quixote. Like... we'll do it anyway. Yeah. Yeah. So deja vu. Any other notes? You don't do notes. This is all off your dome, man.
Yeah. Two notes. What do you think happens to Agent Carlin now? Because he never meets the time travel guys now. There's no reason to.
Oh, yeah. This is a weird closed loop where he shouldn't exist.
Do you think there's like a Final Destination type sequel where Claire just keeps losing finger after finger in some strange accident?
Perhaps. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, that's the extension of it, right?
Mm-hmm. You can't cheat death, right?
Yeah. Oh, I wonder, did Tony Scott ever direct Tony Todd?
Oh, man.
That would have. That's a crazy rap party, I bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. This movie is kind of cartoony, but it gave me everything I wanted as far as it's a good action movie. It's fine as a thriller. There was enough tension to keep it going, but you weren't really worried about anything because the pace is really good. That's the other thing. This pace was fast because it had to be. It was running to stop from falling down. It was a toddler.
Yeah. It was a shark on a unicycle.
Yes.
This movie had so much confidence. Like, just a ridiculous amount of confidence because everybody played it straight, but nobody really took it too seriously.
Yeah. This is an Andrew Dice Clay type movie.
Yeah. By the time you post this episode, I will have forgotten like what happened in this movie.
Yes, it will only seem vaguely familiar.
Exactly.
That's what we're reduced to. I mean, that's all there is. I thought at the end, by the way, did you think at the end he was going to say deja vu?
Yeah, I got really excited.
I was like, Drew's gonna love this. He's gonna love this. And they veered away at the very end. I hope that was conscious.
It had to have been. It had to have been. But yeah, it got my hopes up so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like cheering in my head.
Say it. Say yes, it.
Exactly. Yeah, so thank you. Deja vu was fun. It was not heavy lifting.
Yes. Brother Jay, do not watch this movie. It will break your brain.
There are better movies with every single actor in them. So just go find those. And we can all go together to watch Passion of the Christ Resurrection.
This is not a movie I'd want to see in the theater.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing. So, housekeeping?
Yeah.
Was there something you were saving something for housekeeping?
Yeah, it was. I've already forgotten though.
Oh, okay.
But I do have an update.
Okay, please.
I think last week I was a little bummed out about the property that we were buying. It looked like that was going to fall through. And then I think the next day it was back on. So now right now it's back on.
Sweet.
Hopefully it'll stay back on.
But awesome. Are there any big hurdles left? Or
got to get the sellers to sign the paperwork.
Oh, okay.
They've been out of touch for a week on some sort of rafting trip in Colorado.
Mm.
So they agreed to terms over email right before they went dark. So hopefully they will come back and sign everything and close.
Sweet. Well, tentative congratulations.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy the lake house on Lake Beep.
at these coordinates.
Yeah, exactly. At the very end of Drew's House Road. Oh, well. No, that's awesome. That's great news.
Yeah, so hopefully in a couple weeks, we'll be able to have everybody up there.
Sweet.
Check it out.
Yeah, fun. So any other housekeeping?
No? You still enjoying Shudder?
I am. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of movies on Shudder. I watched the Lucio Fulci trilogy called The Gates of Hell. And they are, let's see, it's The City of the Dead is the first one, followed by The Beyond, followed by House by the Cemetery. And they're all like very 70s Italian horror movies. But a little like Mario Bava and like the Blind Dead series, the Templar series or whatever. It's like long on atmosphere and sort of weak on plot. But Fulci is more gory. Like, I think in every single of these three movies, someone gets an eye gouged out. Like, fairly graphically. And, you know, in basically, it's, I think Shudder has either like the best print possible or even a remastered print of each of the movies, because it looks really clear, which I think I said before, really pristine, like a high definition video does not do 1970s horror movies any services, or 80s horror movies, because when you can see the seams, it's not a successfully horror movie. But and actually, have you watched Day of the Dead lately? Or I guess, sorry, Dawn of the Dead.
The original one?
Yeah.
It's been a couple years.
You know, I love Night of the Living Dead. I would consider Night of the Living Dead one of my favorite horror movies. Just because it's so... there's so much going on there beyond what this little cheap independent movie should have been. Like, I love it. There are lots of things going on. I love the fact that it has one of the grimmest endings ever. And then Dawn of the Dead is like the shopping mall movie where it's a much bigger scale and it's kind of like a commentary on consumerism, blah, blah, blah. But one of the things that takes me out of it is if you watch a really nice version of it, you see that the zombies are just people with blue face paint. Like, that's it. So mm-hmm. It's kind of rough. So when you see like the new version, the John Leguizamo version, I think, right? Or maybe Ving Rhames. I can't remember.
Yeah. Ving Rhames is in it.
Yeah. I think maybe John Leguizamo in Land of the Dead. Maybe that was.
Yeah. Okay. That was the George Romero, skyscraper zombie movie.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, the remake was fine. but I hate to say that the Dawn of the Dead doesn't quite live up. There's still that cool scene where the guy gets his head chopped off with a helicopter, but that's about it. And then Day of the Dead is actually kind of holds up just fine, but oh well. Little cheesy with Bub, but still, what can you do?
They are remaking that movie?
Day of the Dead?
Yeah.
Huh.
Right? Does that sound right?
Maybe. It seems like the zombies have played out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's just a canvas to do other stories. I don't know. Again, we'll have to talk about Night of the Living Dead. They just did so many things right. And a lot of things they did right was just not explaining it enough, but not too much. I mean, so much so that Max Brooks, like, built that beautiful novel. All pretty much based on what was in that movie. More or less.
Yeah. That was a great book.
Yeah, it was. Again, just a canvas for other ideas. But yeah, such a great book. And the fact that it's, you know, like a almost an anthology makes it so if you don't like a part of it, you could just, you know, go right to the next part and you got a whole different type of story. Plus, with the audio version, you have a whole different narrator, too. So, good stuff.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow. And maybe ramble, that's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Okay.